Can you guys all hear me? Oh, good. Mic's on. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Spencer, and I'm the youth pastor here. And I'm really excited to preach here for the first time this fall. I just want to start out this morning by saying thank you. Thanks to everyone here for the way that you've been a part of my life and for how I've been able to be a part of yours. Fort George Baptist Church is the place where I came to Christ, where I began to grow in him, and I was baptized here. I started attending youth group here periodically when I was in grade 10, and then started to regularly attend in grade 11. I was around when Pastor Tim was here, when several others filled in, and when it felt like the youth group was led by Gira DeFau alone. I also got to be under the leadership of Kim and Nathan Warren, both as a youth for my last semester of high school and as a summer intern for 2 years. This church community has blessed me so much and has been one of my, if not my main, community of growth in Christ. There have been other communities such as Nestlake Bible Camp and the Bible College I went to, Prairie College. But I ended up in these communities largely because of the work God did in my life while in the community of the Fort George Baptist Church Youth Group and the Greater Fort George Baptist Church. My life and my walk with Christ would truly not be the same if it wasn't for Christ's work in my life at this church. And I say this all with purpose. I don't want to say it simply for the sake of thanking you all, although I really am thankful to you. I also don't say it only for you to feel good about yourselves, yet you should feel encouraged. But today I want to encourage you with how you as the church, starting as Bethel Baptist Church and eventually becoming Fort George Baptist Church, has been a light, a presence of God's love and goodness in the city of Prince George since the beginning of the 20th century. And I encourage you that you would take this and move forward in it. That we as a church who has new members, different ethnicities and backgrounds, will continue to shine a light in a city that is lost and is in desperate need for Jesus. But before we start, I want to pray for us all. Dear God, thank you for Fort George Baptist Church and for allowing me to be a part of this community. I thank you for the way that you used Bethel Baptist to plant this church, and how Fort George Baptist has gone to plant College Heights Baptist Church and Heartland Baptist Church. I thank you, God, for how you have used the church to reach the city through radio and television programs, pioneer clubs, and youth programs. I thank you also for the commitment to Nestle Bible Camp and to other missions organizations, and I thank you for this church's commitment to prayer. God, give us the inspiration and drive to continue to reach our city and to pray earnestly as we have done in the past. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 to 10, which is found on page 835 in your pew Bibles in front of you. Paul, the writer of this letter, is writing to the church in Thessalonica, a church established amidst violence and torture for being Christian. Thessalonica, in some ways, shares similarities with Prince George. Thessalonica was the largest city in its area and the most important. It was situated in an important way, being a middle ground or crossroads to other waterways or cities. Thessalonica was a hub, much like Prince George is a hub of the north. People were constantly coming and going. In this passage, Paul writes to the church and encourages them. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Paul here is thanking God and encouraging the church in all that the Thessalonian church has done, or what Paul has heard of. This passage is different than the other letters that Paul writes. Instead of receiving a sharp rebuke like other churches receive from Paul, they receive encouragement and affirmation. This had me thinking of how Paul would write to us and encourage our church with the way we have lived. Paul quickly explains to us what is the base or the reason for the works of the Thessalonian church. He says that their works were produced by faith, their labor motivated by love, and endurance inspired by hope in their Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say that when the gospel was received, it was received with power and conviction. Last year, I took a history class through Prairie College on the history of evangelicalism. And one of my assignments was to write a paper on the history aspect. I decided to do my research paper on the history of this church, and I had the privilege of interviewing several of you. I was fascinated to hear of the drive that Reverend Abraham Hager had, the first pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. He lived in Edmonton, but would come to Prince George all that way just to minister to German immigrants. Reverend Abraham Hager was clearly motivated out of the faith, hope, and love rooted in Jesus Christ. And while I was preparing the sermon, I found an excellent story sharing about Reverend Hager's life. And it's actually in the form of a video, and this video is from our sister church in Edmonton, Central Baptist Church. And while we don't share all of the similarities with this video, a lot of it applies to us. And so we're going to quickly watch this video. If there's sound. We might not be able to watch it today. That's okay. So if you want the link to the video, it's an awesome video, and I really enjoyed it. But it shows, if you want to pause the video there for a second, that'd be good. It shows the drive and the dedication that Reverend Abraham Hager had. He would walk 30 kilometers into downtown Edmonton just to meet people who were new to the city, to show them the love of Christ. And eventually, Central Baptist Church was planted here, and they've become a large church in Edmonton. You see, this church started with a man whose life had been shaken by the gospel, much like the church in Thessalonica. And he didn't stay silent about it. Instead, he would travel great lengths to preach and and to spread the love of Jesus. It wouldn't stop there, though. Reverend Abraham Hager's legacy and his drive to share the gospel went on into Bethel Baptist Church. Bethel Baptist went on to reach people from a different demographic in our city, eventually birthing Fort George Baptist Church. As Fort George Baptist Church began to grow, many different ministries began to come out of the church, like a television broadcast, a radio broadcast, and sometimes hymn singing on the side of street corners. This love for Jesus, the firm rooting in the gospel, caused Fort George Baptist Church to grow. And College Heights Baptist Church was planted, and Heartland Baptist Church was planted. It was also during this time that a young man was attending this church. He had just completed an undergraduate degree in physics and was in Prince George working at the mill. This young man was a brand new Christian, and it was here, at this church, that he was told about seminary. And he was told that he could use his physics degree to go to seminary. He was so excited. If we look at this man now, we find that he has been a pastor for many, many years and has been the New Testament professor at Prairie Bible College for close to a decade. He was my New Testament professor just 2 years ago. It says in verses 7-8, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out to you, from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God became known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." Fort George Baptist Church has been very much like the church in Thessalonica. Its influence has stretched from the heart to College Heights and perhaps across Western Canada. But it hasn't just been in previous years that Fort George Baptist Church has been an influence in Prince George and an example to other believers. Fort George Baptist Church is known for being a church that prays. I am constantly encouraged by the fact that this congregation commits to having several 12-hour prayer vigils a year. It's an integral part of this church and is an example to the other believers of this city. Praying is an important part of our Sunday morning service, and we're able to share with each other our concerns and have others pray for us. The prayer chain at this church is also a testimony of faith and commitment to praying for needs outside of Sunday morning. Fort George Baptist Church is not just a church that only prays on Sunday mornings. And in this way, we are an example. Fort George Baptist Church is also a big supporter and participant in several Prince George-based ministries. And I can think of several. Two ministries come to mind, though. The first is of Bibles for Missions thrift store downtown. It seems that of the handful of times I've been to the store, I always see volunteers from our church. This ministry is important to this church, and it must be encouraging to other Christians who are involved with Bibles for Missions to see a church so committed to helping fund Bibles for missions around the world. Another major ministry that Fort George Baptist Church supports is Nestlake Bible Camp. Fort George has long been involved with Nestlake Bible Camp, especially with several of our members spending most of their summer year after year at the camp. Fort George also supports the camp in a financially significant way. It was brought to my attention that for the last 5 out of 6 years, Fort George Baptist Church has been the top giver to the annual Polar Bear Dip, a fundraiser that raises support for kids in our city who can't otherwise afford to go to camp. And the 1 year that we didn't win, it wasn't by much. And we're not close to the biggest church in town, so that says something. People like Pastor Dan and most recently Nikita have jumped into the lake in the beginning of January, and our church, you guys, have happily supported from outside of the water and helped many kids across the city attend camp. And this past summer, One of the kids who received money to be able to go to camp became a Christian and is now a part of our ministry here at the church. Certainly, this is a way that Fort George Baptist Church is known for its love. This church has also been a known supporter of youth group and children's ministries. This was made evident when the church hired Pastor Tim and the youth ministry began to grow. At one point, it seemed as though Fort George Baptist Church had the youth group that students across Prince George wanted to go to. Students from all high schools were in attendance, and Youth Sundays always seemed to be such a joy for the congregation. After Tim left Fort George Baptist Church, Gira Warren, at the time Gira DeFau, stepped up and helped organize much of the happenings within the youth group. Gira and I were friends, and she would tell me stories of how people from the congregation were so supportive of the youth group, and that if she ever needed resources or money for the youth group, that there were always people offering to give. And there were always people who were willing to supervise us. And that was such a testimony to us as youth, as we were in a time without a youth pastor. Later, Pastor Dan was asked to help run the youth group for a time, and then Pastor Kim was hired as the youth pastor, and the church supported her in her time of ministry. I remember Pastor Dan having a significant role in my life and me being baptized by him, and then of Pastor Kim touching the lives of many, like Darian Olson, who's now going to Bible college in Saskatchewan, largely because of Fort George's love for youth and commitment to Kim ministering to teens. As Pastor Kim left and I was asked to fill in as a volunteer youth leader, I was encouraged with how many of you came to me and expressed how you wanted me to be paid to work here with you, and it showed me your continued commitment to young people. The youth ministry of Fort George Baptist Church now reaches an average of 30 to 35 students per week, sometimes in the 40s. It feeds that many students as well every week. And the majority of these students have no Christian background. Fort George Baptist Church is a light to the city of Prince George and an influence to the Christians of Prince George. If Paul was among us today, he would encourage us with these things, much like he encouraged the Church of Thessalonica. It's important to focus in on these three important points, though. The first point is this: all good works and mission must come out of a deep response to the gospel. Verses 3-5 are really important here. It says, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." It's important to realize that these good works and this influence that the Thessalonians had did not simply happen because they decided it was a good thing to do, or that they should do it for their own recognition. All of this was rooted in faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ. And they were able to have faith, hope, and love because the gospel came to them with power, the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. We can try to will our way to good deeds, to trying extra hard to love others and to have an influence on our city, but eventually we'll run out of steam. We'll lose motivation, or it just won't happen at all. Instead, great influence for the gospel and love for others is rooted in a deep reaction to the gospel. We hear the gospel and then we act on it. The gospel is what motivated this church in the past, and which is what brings me to the second point. Paul writes this letter to the Thessalonians to encourage them to continue in their gospel-driven, mission-focused lives. As I said earlier, Paul doesn't want us to simply give his audience a pat on the back, and neither would he want to just give us a pat on the back either. Instead, Paul says these things so that the Thessalonian church might see the ways in which they were faithful and be encouraged, inspired, or prompted to continue to live this way to an even further extent. It's the same way for us. It's great to look back to the ways that God has worked in our midst and through our church, but it's ultimately a waste of our time remembering if we don't look to the future with hopes to have a greater influence on our city, to love each other better, and to react deeper to the gospel. Even as we look to what God is doing through our church right now, we must not become stagnant. May our hunger to see God working through and around us grow evermore. Paul makes this clear after he spends a lengthy time encouraging the Thessalonian church. In chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Paul's words of "do this more and more" is incredibly important, and we must take this to heart. We must pray more and more. We must love each other more and more. We must be passionate to reach the lost in our city and around the world more and more. We do all of this. We remember our past in the ways that God has worked through us, how he is working here now, and how we might be able to be a part of how God will move in our city in the future because of our hope in Jesus coming back again. And that's my third point. In chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, right after this last passage, it says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." All of this comes back to my first point. Our love, our good deeds, our influence has come out of the hope we have in the gospel, that we, as sinners, are able to be in right relationship with God. His Holy Spirit is working in us, and we get to be a part of his kingdom, both now and when he comes again. And so we put in our labor, we pray, and we love as kingdom participants now and looking to when he will come again. So I want to end my sermon with something special. I want to highlight two things to you that has been going on. The first thing is Lighthouse. I'm very excited about how God is working through these young people, how one girl became a Christian in this very sanctuary, how many students who don't go to church are willing to come worship Jesus on a Saturday night, and how many students have an opportunity to minister to one another. In your bulletin, there is a sheet with information about Lighthouse. Please take a look at that, and I encourage you to pray for this ministry. Our church is able to reach a demographic that is amongst one of the hardest to reach in our nation. And the second thing that our church has been a part of right now is Youth Alpha. It started with you guys. When you came and showed your support at our spaghetti fundraiser last February, the money from that fundraiser sent a large group of students to a conference called History Maker. And at History Maker, teens met Jesus in a real way. Now, so many of them are excited to share their faith with their friends at school. And the way they want to do this is through Youth Alpha. This year, the students at Fort George Baptist Church and Westwood Youth Group are on track towards hosting a Youth Alpha at all 6 major high schools across the city. God has included us in this amazing thing. We would be watching a video talking about Youth Alpha, but it didn't work out. But it's really incredible the ways in which God has worked through this church, and he wants to continue to working through this church. And so I encourage you to be encouraged with the past, but also to look to the future with hope. I'll call the worship team up at this time, or we'll maybe try the video.
Like we have a happiness bucket that we're constantly trying to fill. It can sound like this: if I just had more money or nicer clothes or a new girlfriend, then I'd be happy.
The nights would come, the girls would be gone, it'd be just me, me, and I guess God, right? And I'm like, okay, there's definitely more to life than this. Like, I just want, and you don't get anything.
There's this deeper, even spiritual hunger that we're all trying to satisfy.
As someone who grew up in an atheistic home, I wasn't just going to accept what he was going to say. So I was like, okay, did this actually happen in the story? What's the evidence? I'm not going to just buy into something because I get swept up in emotion.
You have approximately 570,000 hours left to live. And we want to invite you to spend less than 24 of them with us on Alpha.
Please rise for our last song. geez, I'm not really happy.